My state of the union, or state, my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully. And America needs a military where our best and brightest are proud to serve and proud to stay.
Hello, everybody. As you can hear, we have a big idiot talking at the end of this clip here. That was one of my favorite songs by Immortal Technique. I do like that song a lot. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio Show. I'm here with my co-host, as always, Justin Cook. Justin, how you doing out there tonight, buddy? Justin?
Good day to everybody out there, you included. Yeah.
Oh, you got cut off a little bit. I heard you say day, everybody included. I'm assuming you were wishing everybody happy Father's Day. Why don't you say that again? Yeah. You got a little cut off.
I just wanted to say, it's been a week and a half since we've been on, but, you know, glad to be back. Wanted to say happy to everybody out there that's, you know, a father, whether they're divorced, single, whatever, as long as you're, you know, trying to be in your kid's life and teaching them the truth and teaching them, you know, how to live, because that's what we need. We need more, you know, real people in this world, not more sheep. So, you know, just in general, it's hard enough these days. Just wanted to, you know, say that to everybody out there. I don't know. Besides that,
I think that's important. Let's touch on Father's Day for a little bit because, you know, I don't know. I just think that it's something that's really needed. I mean, it's really hard to raise a responsible young man with just a mother in the household, you know? I think that's something that really needs to be touched upon.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
You know what I mean? Especially when we always talk about the breakdown of the family and how it was, I don't know. I think it's kind of been done on purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was designed conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And one of the main reasons that they do that is, I think to, so the kids have more loyalty towards government and towards school and less towards what their parents have to say. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a big part of it. And the other part of it is that you're, you know, just in general with you have both parents out working all the time. You have both, you know, both parents. You're not able to keep as good of an eye on your kids. And you think that by sending them to daycare or sending them to schools that, you know, so they're being looked after. OK, and it's, you know, most of the time it's OK, but they're also being indoctrinated at the same time, you know. So I mean, it just really made sure that everybody spent a lot more time in the States, care and pretty much just, gave them a tougher life at home and economy wise, just made a lot of people poorer than they had to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of economy, we're gonna get into a lot of things tonight. We have a special guest tonight. A Facebook friend of mine that's pretty much, I don't know how long she's been on Facebook, but pretty much as long as I've been on Facebook, Lori Freire has been on Facebook. She's very awake, very in tune with a lot of the things that we're into. She followed a lot of my 9/11 information, which is, you know, not always the easiest thing to believe or the easiest thing to follow. And then, she's going to come on tonight and she's going to talk about the Federal Reserve. And she has some great information on the Federal Reserve. Now, you guys have all heard, the term thrown around, end the Fed. But a lot of people don't know what that means. We're not going to go down the whole, you know, this isn't going to be a whole, like, you know, Ron Paul type show, end the Fed. And we're not going to get on here and trash Ron Paul all night. We've done that on plenty of other episodes. This is more about the Federal Reserve, what it means, what's going to happen when the charter ends this year. Things like that. Hold on. This might be her calling in right now. We have a caller coming in right now. Hold on, Justin. Welcome to Dose of Reality Radio. You're on with Justin Cook and Brian Stavely.
Hey, it's Lori Freire.
Lori, I was just talking about you.
Cool.
Excellent, excellent. Let me just hang on here 1 second. I was just telling people how you're gonna come on and talk about the Fed and everything, and then I just want to tell them what else we're gonna talk about, and then we'll get right into your stuff. How's that sound?
Sounds great. I'm just
on. All right, excellent, guys. So this is Lori Frary right here, and she's gonna be talking about the Federal Reserve, what it means when the charter ends this year, you know, some other solutions that we could possibly have. I'll let her get into all of that. Some of the other things we're going to get into after Lori gets off, we're going to get into some more, you know, not for too long, but maybe we'll touch on that stupid zombie crap for a little bit. I don't know what to believe about it. We'll discuss it. But then we're going to discuss, you know, I know lately we discussed the London Olympics a few times, but we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to discuss Black September. I don't know how many of you remember that. Justin, you want to elaborate on that a little bit, on just what Black September was, 1972? I think we might have lost Justin's mic for a minute. Anyways, we're gonna go back through some of the symbolism that's been shown through a lot of the different Olympics. 1972, when they had the terrorist crisis. The Beijing Olympics, when they did they actually did CGI fireworks on TV. And that kind of relates into some of the 9/11 stuff we're talking about, because we try and tell you that, you know, some of these things are CGI and that just some people don't want to believe it. But everybody believed the fireworks when they saw it on TV. And, you know, I think it's a great example to show people. The other thing is, we're going to get a little bit back into the music business stuff tonight. Not too much time on it like we have in the past, because we did spend a lot on it on the last few shows. We're going to go over a couple of videos that really, really bothered me and had a really bad message in it. Besides that, we could go pretty much anywhere from there. Why don't we let Lori, since Lori's here now, Lori, why don't you get right into it and just, you know, tell us who you are and why you got interested in this, and get right into the Federal Reserve stuff and start explaining it.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to talk to your folks. I have a radio show, also Blog Talk radio show, that I've started doing a few weeks ago. Just so that I can find another avenue to get to the people, just like you are. And I commend you guys for what you're doing and all the things you're talking about. And I'm kind of trying to do the same thing. And Brian listened to my show, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and I spoke quite a bit about the Federal Reserve. The main thing that I just really want to say about it is that so many people either get it or they don't get it at all, and we need more people to understand why this is an issue.
Yeah, it's more of a catchphrase than anything for some of these people. It's just end the Fed, and they don't even know what that means.
Exactly. And it's like, why did we hear people talking about ending the Fed? I mean, we heard Ron Paul talk about it. We've heard seen all the people in the Occupy. Some of these people will be carrying signs that say end the Fed. And right. Most people don't understand that the Federal Reserve is a separate entity from the federal government. And they think because the word federal's in there that it's a branch of the federal government, and it is not. It is a private banking cabal, central banking group, that basically loans money to our government every time we spend money. And it's a very simple concept that is made so convoluted because most people just don't pay attention to what's the deal about the money. They hear about the debt. They hear about the deficit. they know that it's billions and trillions of dollars, but they don't really understand. It's just way over their head.
Lori, let me break in real quick, and I'll let you finish. But isn't it true that about I think it was 89% of our debt is to the Fed? It's not even
all
to
of our, it, all of our debt. Is
all
to
of
the
it.
Fed.
All of it.
What, all of our debt.
There's
yeah.
9% or whatever they're chalking up to saying to China, but the rest of it is all to the Federal Reserve.
Well, lately, the Federal Reserve has been buying the debt. They've been buying bonds and picking up the debt so that they can keep a better control over the value of the money. And they've also loaned banks outside of the United States of America trillions of dollars to so-called bail them out at almost 0% interest rate, which just continues to devalue the value of our own money. What I wanted to talk about real quick was that the main thing that seems like gets the roadblock that gets thrown up in front of people that they immediately jump on is, if you end the Fed, what are we going to do for money? And they don't understand that we have the capacity in the United States of America to print our own money. That's what the Treasury does. And the money does not need to be backed by another entity. It can be backed by the goodwill, the value of the assets of the GDP, of whatever you want to back it with. It does not even need to be backed with gold or silver or any other precious metal.
And
it is backed by the goodwill of the American people.
Lori, now that's a big misconception, of course, too, across a big amount of like the truth movement, liberty movement, whatever you want to call it. The fact that it has to, these people believe that it's a fiat because it's not backed by anything. When in reality, if we had real Treasury greenbacks, you know, it's backed by, like you said, the work and everything else, and the fact that, you know, they've just been fed a line of this thing to make them go with a gold standard. But I'll let you continue on that. But I just wanted to talk about the, you know, and how I think Edward Griffin had a big part in that, you know, because he pretty much plagiarized, you know, Eustace Mullins' book on the Federal Reserve, except he tried to add this little thing in there about gold being, you know, kind of like the kryptonite to the Rothschilds, which is totally untrue. You know,
well, our currency hasn't been backed by gold or silver since Nixon. Kennedy took away the silver standard. Let me make sure I get this right.
So either way,
Kennedy,
it's BS. We don't need to be gold back. We don't need a gold
and
standard.
Kennedy, yeah. And so there's no actual, you know, everybody says, oh, there's bars of gold in Fort Knox that are backing the currency. That's absolutely not true. There's no gold there backing the currency. So in other words, the point is that most people don't understand is every dollar that we spend, then this is what's not only why it's called fiat currency, because it's made out of thin air. Every dollar that we spend is first borrowed from the Federal Reserve, and it's borrowed from independent banking agency called the Federal Reserve. And so it is immediately debt before it even gets spent out into the economy. And so the objective that they, you know, talked about with greenbacks, before we had the Federal Reserve, we've had Federal Reserve type banking cabals in charge of our money before, and they were given a certain amount of time. You know, one time they got 20, 25 years, and another time they got 20 years or 10 years, and then it just kept like having to be redone because the people in government, like the president, Kennedy knew it, Lincoln knew it, that we were borrowing all of this money and that sooner or later this debt was going to start to accumulate and that we would not have a way to pay it back. And so in 1913, when the Federal Reserve was created, a lot of people don't know this, that at the same time the IRS was created.
Right.
The IRS was created for the purpose of collecting taxes from people, from the citizens, to pay the debt every year.
And it was supposed to be for 1 year, wasn't it? And then they just kept it going, or?
Well, it was, you know, sort of supposed to be an experiment. And
yeah, but they knew it wasn't going to be an experiment. Yeah.
Right. They knew it wasn't going to be an experiment. Just
yeah,
like
exactly.
The Patriot Act was going to be an experiment.
Yeah,
and we still
exactly.
Got it.
They knew they were
once
just going to rip us off.
Once these guys implement something, it never seems to go away after that. So you've got to
exactly.
Keep them from ever getting this stuff started, because the minute they get it started, it's like it lives in perpetuity forever. So,
right.
You know, I always invite people to spend a little bit of time and Google the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 and read the documents and read when they did it. They did it, you know, like on December 31st, right before they took off to go on vacation for, you know, Christmas, New Year's vacation. And, you know, in the 11th hour under the guise of hurry up, they passed this act. And what's another thing that's interesting about it is it was had a charter that was to last for 99 years. So if that was in 1913, then in 2012, at the end of this year, that charter should be over. And
yep.
What I find interesting is nobody's talking about, are we going to, you know, extend this charter, this Federal Reserve Act, for
don't
a
even
longer
talk about
period
it.
Of time.
Not
nobody's
even mentioned.
Talking about it.
Not even mentioned.
No. And so when you talk about end the Fed, does that mean it's just going to end on its own? Then what are we going to do? Do they have money printed? You know, who's running the asylum here? And so it's definitely something that the people need to be talking about and learning about, so that if there is an opportunity to end it because time's going to run out, well, then tick-tock, let's let it run out, and let's have Plan B ready to go. And that's where this word greenbacks comes in, is that originally was money that was printed by our Treasury.
Right.
It's called greenbacks because it was green ink on the back. It's pretty simple stuff. But the whole objective was that they would print the money, and then whatever the budget was that they needed to spend the money on to build roads and bridges and sewers and whatever else, pay the employees, they would just spend this out into the economy after it was printed, and then they can control the flow of cash money that's out there. And that is what controls inflation and deflation. It's the same scenario. It's just instead of creating it as debt to begin with, it's just printed and utilized. There's no reason for it to be started as debt.
Now, Lori, can I ask your opinion on something?
Sure.
I always think that people should honor their debt and not screw people over. But at this point, these people have been screwing us over for 60 years. What if we just tell the Fed, go F yourself, and we're not paying you?
That debt, in my opinion, is bullshit. I don't think we should pay dime one of it. But what do you think, Lori?
That
we should repay the debt?
Yeah, we're saying that we shouldn't repay the debt just because
absolutely
they've been
not.
Screwing us for so long.
I say kiss our butt. You guys have
yeah.
Made
that's what we're saying.
A load of money off of the backs of the American people all this time, and you're the ones that allowed this debt to get this out of control anyway. You know, everybody used to think that Alan Greenspan was such a genius. Oh, he's so brilliant. And you know, I used to question, what are they talking about? If he's so brilliant, why is he allowing the value of the money to go to nothing? Why is he allowing the government to continue to borrow so much money when he's supposed to be Mr. Brilliant telling them what his opinion is and what they should be doing? I mean, the guy was under several presidents, what, three or four of them?
Yeah.
And
Greenspan's always in the picture, too. He's always
Well, you know. I can't help but bring up it. Anytime anybody asks me about repaying the debt, I can't help but bring up Iceland at that point. Because anybody that takes the time to look at what Iceland has been through, and it's a little country of, you know, 300,000 people, not 300 million. And, you know, what they did was they realized by hook or by crook that they've been screwed. And they, you know, passed a resolution that they were going to fall back and regroup, and they were not going to let the IMF and the World Bank and those guys that had saddled them with, and their own bankers, saddled them with billions of dollars worth of debt. They just said, you know what, well, we can never pay this back. We would be selling our children into indentured slavery and servitude, which is exactly what's happened with the United States of America. And
exactly.
The same thing's happened in Greece, and the same thing's happened in Spain, and every other one of these countries that have these central banks. There are only three countries in the world left that don't have these Rothschild-backed central banks, and they are Cuba, North Korea, and Iran. And don't you find it amazing that those three countries,
same countries that are on the terror list,
the boogeyman.
Yep, they're on the same.
Boogeyman,
as I've been saying since I got on the radio, Lori, I'm sorry to cut you off for a second, but I've been telling people this. That the same, it started as seven countries. 10 years ago, there were seven countries: Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, Afghanistan,
Iraq,
Libya, North Korea.
Exactly.
All these people that Fox News tells us are these terrorist states. It's not about terrorist states. It's about controlling their finances.
Absolutely, and not only that, but when you look at all the countries that you think, you know, how can these little bitty countries have these, you know, central banks? Well, here's what happens. The central bank comes in via the IMF or the World Bank, and they say, oh, you guys need to borrow some money. We can help you build some roads and bridges, and we'll loan you this money at really low interest rates. And they get them hooked in. And then they want more and more, especially the ones that have been run by dictators for quite a while. And then before you know it, they're hooked. I mean, they're in it, right? And there's no getting out. So then they start to negotiate with the central banks and say, well, we can't pay. Well, it's just like, you know, Guido comes over and from the mafia and says, well, we have to collect. So now you have to start putting up some assets that you own. We'll take those oil wells, and we'll take these other natural resources, and we'll take some of these buildings and parks and whatever else as collateral. And then if you default on your debt, then we own you. And that's exactly what's happened to the United States of America. People have no idea how much our parks and our bridges and everything else have all been hocked. I mean, they got to back it with something, right? We don't have gold or silver to back it with, so we're screwed. And
quick question,
know,
though:
somebody says you want to give the money or pay the money back, we can't ever pay the money back. Forget about it.
No, it's interest upon interest. It's like. No, and just for the principle of how bad they've been sticking it up our rear ends, basically, why should we? Why should we put ourselves into a bigger hole and pay them back? I mean, after everything we've done across the world, is that going to be the worst thing we've done, is not pay back the Federal Reserve? Screw them.
Absolutely.
Screw the Fed.
Not only that, but look at it this way. When people say, oh, well, that's not patriotic, you know, we have to be good, show good faith as America and American citizens. We're the greatest country in the world. We have to pay our debt. And what's really interesting is where is it set up that we're going to pay China back? Where's that money coming from? Who gets first dibs on all this money, okay, on all this debt? And so, if we if if we commit to paying it back, you know, it's like, well, there's like this big shoe hanging over, and the other shoe's got to drop, and everybody has got their poker face on, and everybody's looking at everybody else. What's Greece going to do? Well, look what Iceland did. Well, what's Spain going to do? Here's the bottom line. We all got to just get it together and say together, screw those guys. All these countries that got screwed by the central banks all need to get together and, you know, take off the poker face and say, you know, it's time to just say, uncle, we all refuse to pay. What are you going to do, wipe all of us out?
And that's a huge thing, and I think people need to realize that what we're talking about here is a few families and, you know, most possibly, you know, almost definitely the Vatican. Besides that, you know, it's nothing. That's all it is a few people that run the world. And we have all the numbers, and yet we're still sitting back and paying this false debt. That was just...
And that's because they control all the information. They control the media, and people don't have any idea. And it's hard for people like us to connect.
Here's the trick to the whole thing. This is what gets me so baffled by all the people we call the sheeple. It's like, where's your freaking backbone, people? This is a few families. This is 300 to 1,000 people in the entire world of 7 billion people that are controlling the puppet strings of everybody, and you're letting them, and it's nobody's fault but your own. And I'm one who's willing to stand up, just like you guys are, and call them out and say, you know what, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. And that's just all there is to it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, what are they going to do? Come at us with baseball bats? Blow something up? You know, they're already doing it, poisoning the water and the food and the chemtrails and everything else. I mean, how much more fearful can you possibly get?
Yeah, how much more do we need to take?
Controlling everything.
Yep.
And then that's what's controlling everything is fear. And it's bullshit. I'm sorry. That there's no other word that fits there. It because there it's just air. It's not real. You can blink your eyes and you can tear up all the money, and then you go, now what? Now what are you gonna do? You know, it's just like I think that the whole puppet master concept, and I use that word all the time. And, you know, I think of the little puppet show where, you know, the kid, it used to be a kid on my block that did the puppet shows all the time. And he had this little box and a little stage, and he had the little puppets, and they were very, very cool. And he put on his own shows, and he made it up as he went along. He didn't even write it. Well, these guys have had the opportunity to be writing the puppet show for decades. And they got a plan. And we're seeing the plan. It's not even hidden anymore. It's right out and hide in plain sight kind of thing. And and so it's become a joke to those of us that are awake, and it's become the ultimate in frustration for those of us that are awake that the rest of the people can't see it, and yet they're making us look like crazy conspiracy theorists. And they made up the word just because they knew this was going to happen.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, you go, and there you have it.
And that's the thing, and that, you know, the whole thing is Operation Mockingbird. The whole beginning of it was just making sure they had a CIA asset at every, you know, news station, and then making sure that the, you know, the big five or six or whatever it is took over every media outlet there is. And now you're seeing even the same things on the internet, you know, where it's cracking down. And, you know, thank God for the internet on one hand, but on the other hand, you know, we're seeing even that come to, you know, somewhat of an end with these, you know, types of draconian laws if they ever get passed. I have a feeling right now they're using the internet more for the fear factor of it and letting us almost, but.
I was talking to one of our group members about this the other day. I was talking about how the internet is, you know, they put a lot of like 9/11 stuff out, but I think that a lot of the stuff they put on YouTube was just so they could have the propaganda to put out, you know, as with everything else.
The same way we are. Yep. They're yep. using it the They're same not way stupid. We are.
Do you guys really think that they don't know about the internet? Like, we can just turn off the TV and go on the internet and automatically get the truth? They're not stupid. Of course they're going to fill it with disinformation. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to have discernment and be able to get through it. So what are some of your solutions, Lori, besides greenbacks? Is there any other solution? What do you think needs?
Well, I think that there's a lot of solutions, and there's a lot of brilliant people out there with some brilliant plans.
Right.
Everything from the Zeitgeist movement to the Venus Project to resource-based economies, all kinds of things. I, for one, have a little bit of trepidation about anything that seems global at this point, because
yep.
we're too close to the problem of the New World Order and all that, which, if you want to know my truth on that is that that's all fake anyway.
Real quick, though, I mean, you know, that's one thing is like, I don't mind the resource-based economy thing, but as far as the Zeitgeist stuff goes, I don't know. I have a feeling where I kind of believe that that's almost kind of New World Order propaganda in itself, you know, as far as the ending of, you know, religion, and as far as also, like, I don't know, it seems like their plan for when they get rid of the rest of us. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, it's definitely up there. The RBE part of it is decent. I think that the RBE, the resource-based economy, is something we could take with us, but...
How does that work, though? I mean, going back to the Stone Ages and actually trading different products for things?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's not how it works. But here's the fear that a lot of people have about it, okay? And when I just said that the New World Order is a hoax, the New World Order, you know, these guys are so smart, and these guys have been putting these plans together for so long that it's almost laugh in your face kind of stuff, okay? So imagine, if you will, that you want to freak people out that live in a country like the United States of America, a completely 100% sovereign nation, okay? And you want to freak them out that they're going to be taken over by the UN and NATO and the Council on Foreign Relations and the IMF and the World Bank and all these other alphabet soups, okay? The first thing you want to do is you want to freak them out that they're going to become a part of this global utopian thing, okay? Because that's the first thing that American citizens are going to go, oh, no, we're not, okay? So they created that concept. I mean, I can never stop hearing over and over in my mind when I think of the world, the words New World Order, I think of George Bush Danger saying, "We're going to have a new world order."
It's such a catchphrase.
And there's
such
a smile on his face. And I think, man, that's the creepiest thing I ever heard in my life. So they created that concept after World War II to call out a way to create global peace. Okay? Anytime you hear them talking about global peace, you got to look out. Because that is where they're utilizing that whole progressive, futuristic, utopian thing. And we all know that there is no way that that can happen as long as there's some global cabal in charge of it. Okay? The only way that a global peace is going to happen is if there is a global leadership group. Somebody like a group like the UN, but without NATO and without, you know, trade agreements and everything else. And that's where the resource-based economy comes in. The resource-based economy concept is very simple. And it is, there are no boundaries. There is no, you know, difference between one country and another country when it comes to the resources of the planet. And the resources of the planet are all owned by everybody on the planet equally, and all resources are utilized fairly for everyone, which would take the technology that we have today, we wouldn't have been able to do this before we had computers. But now that we have computers, we have the capacity to label and utilize all of the resources on the planet fairly so that we don't have stupid, idiotic things anymore like paying people not to grow food, okay? Instead, we pay them to grow the food, and we distribute the food to people who need the food. So it's the same concept, only in reverse, of the monetary system, but there's no money. And it's really hard for people to wrap their mind around. You have to take a lot of time to study the resource-based economy ideal, and it's not an idea, it's an ideal. But because they take and they throw the word utopian out there, and then you go, ooh, well, there's this really bad connotation about utopian. I, for one, have no idea why. Give me some utopia after what we've been going through for the last decade, and it sounds pretty good to me, right? And so, but the objective of these different methods of economy is that somebody needs to come up with a definitive way to satisfy the people's needs on the earth without using money, because money is what creates slavery. And there's no way to get rid of money without getting rid of debt. And there's no way to get rid of debt until we get rid of central banks. So they're all inextricably tied to each other. And it's time for the human to evolve past this archaic method of money, because money was created back in the day when we didn't have anything else to trade with, but, you know, I'll give you this chicken for that, you know, sack of rice over there. Yeah. Now we're, like, not there anymore. So there's lots and lots of answers. And imagine, if you will, that we could get a group of smart people together and think about a plan, right?
See, that's more the thing that I have in mind. I mean, because, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't mind. I think some of the RBE stuff is okay. But I still think that we should kind of maybe have a few choices out there and, you know, if some people want to live in that, you know, certain, you know, thing or what, certain world or whatever, that would be fine, I think. But the main thing should be just freedom to if, you know, to live out of it if you wanted to. And, you know, what is there any other solutions you've looked into as far as?
Personally, I like the greenbacks idea. Why aren't we printing our own money? I don't get it. We have a treasury.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense.
That's the simplest step right there.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, let's face it.
There's no way to go from where we are now to a resource-based economy overnight anyway. Okay, it's not feasible.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, all right. The first step would be to tell
the central bankers, thank you very much for playing. Now you can take your fake monopoly money and you can go home, because we won't be using it anymore.
Yeah, take it and shove
collect it all up and take it home with you, or burn it, or whatever it is you're going to do. And we, you know, nearly overnight you can print probably $600 billion or something and start circulating it.
And there's no interest on it.
We don't have that much cash money in circulation anyway. The problem that comes in that so many people get freaked out about is the U.S. dollar is the world's currency, okay? And so they're saying, well, if the federal banks or the Fed isn't backing the U.S. dollar, then what are we going to trade with, okay?
But we don't need the Fed, because they don't really represent us.
Right. If the whole thing is if we actually can get a hold of our own government, which isn't going to happen right now, but if we ever could – The ideal thing would be to just end the Fed and go right to a treasury and actually have the treasury, you know, print out.
It doesn't even make any sense that we would have a Fed that would tax us right off the bat.
You know that Kennedy was doing that, right?
Right,
you know,
of course.
You know that Donald Kennedy was doing that. That was what he was attempting to do when they shot him in the head, okay?
Wasn't Abe Lincoln doing the same thing?
Abe Lincoln was doing the same thing,
right.
But it was a different time and a different purpose. He had to fund the war.
Back then, the one that Lincoln was going against was called the American Central Bank at the time, And he did pretty much the same thing as far as, you know, trying to get the Treasury to print currency again.
Guys, to break it down, I mean, they're just stealing our money.
That's
it. We go bust our ass at work, and they steal our money. And that money that they take out of your check, that doesn't go to fix bridges and roads. That goes right in the bankers' pockets.
That pays the interest only.
And that's bullshit. I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but where are we ever going to get if we keep just paying interest? Where are we ever going to get if we're just paying interest on interest?
Never get when they
it's like being in credit card debt.
Buy a home or a car or anything else on credit. If you buy a car on credit, and all you ever do is pay the interest and not the principal, the car is going to fall apart and turn into a bucket of rust before you ever even start paying on the principal of it.
Exactly.
Right? And if the car costs $30,000 and you never do anything but pay the interest, then every day the car is worth less money. That's the same thing that's going on with our infrastructure, right?
What do you think of some of the... Because the greenback sounds like a great idea to me, but what are some of the cons of it?
On real quick, I wanted to get into some other things real quick, and then you can get back. I just want to say, what did you think about, have you looked into the MPE at all? I just hear this being thrown around a lot, the mathematically perfect economy. And then there's a couple other things, like the Argentinian solution and... you know, American School of Economics. I don't know. There's a few of these certain things. Or community. What do you think about, like, community economy?
Well, let's face it. The perfect way to figure out whether or not that would work or whether or not that would happen would be one of two things. Collapse the economy and see what happens. People have to scramble and work among their communities to rebuild some kind of an economy, and then that would have to spread and spread, and basically you get kicked back a couple hundred years and you start over, okay? Or you just, virtually go back a couple hundred years and you think, how did we get to where we are now? Where did we lose the breadcrumbs along the trail somewhere? And so that we can go back and revisit. And pretty soon you'll figure out that before we had the Fed, we had the biggest economy in the world, okay? We made more stuff for other countries around the world than any other country in the world by far. We built more houses. We built more, you know, stuff, all the stuff, and food and resources of all kinds. The United States was number one before the turn of the century in the world, okay? Now, we did that without all this debt. So it's fake debt. It's not even real debt. And so when, you know, Brian said, what do you think about not paying it back? I think it would be a travesty to continue on the path that we're on. Because we cannot pay it back. So, you know, once you get that horse hoof up against your head and say, okay, uncle, we'll never be able to pay it back, then it's pretty simple. Your government's going to have to shrink. There's no doubt about that from anyone. All this military spending and these black ops spendings and building stuff that people don't even have a clue. Well, I mean, we might have a base on the other side of the moon for all we know.
Yeah.
That money comes from somewhere. It's printed and spent. Whether it's digital or real, it came from somewhere and it went somewhere. So what I'm saying is, you know, part of me, one half of me says, go ahead, keep it going, collapse it, and let's start over. Okay, let's get to that point of chaos. Poor people who have no idea what's coming, too bad for them. There will be leaders that'll pop up out of that mess and things will get going again. But the one thing I know for sure is as long as we continue to live in fear, and Justin, I heard you just say that you don't know how in the near future we can take back our government. To me, that statement alone is a continuation of the fear, because that government that you're talking about
here, I wouldn't say it's fear. I would say it's more based on the fact that 85% of the country is not even on the same, anywhere near the same page as we are. So,
and
I mean,
it doesn't matter because they don't care, Justin, and they won't care now and they won't care then. They'll just want somebody to fix it. Okay. And that's
how do you, of course, how do you make them obsolete, you know, without getting rid of them. There's no way to, you know, think about it, unless some military force steps forward, you know, besides that, I don't see any way that they're not going to step down. They've been in control since biblical times, you know, it makes no sense for them to just let it all collapse and not come back with an economy right off the you know, whatever happens with the economy is collapsed.
Have you done much study about the non-cooperation, non-participation method of taking control?
Yes,
that in my mind is how you do it.
I agree. I totally advocate that. However, if 5% of us do that, what is that? It's still not going to make enough of a dent. And
it's not 5%. That's, you know, that is the people. Let me say this. There is a video on YouTube that I encourage you to watch, and it's called "The First Follower Makes the Leader." And the idea is that any one person is never a leader until someone follows them.
Yep.
And so when you get a leader that comes out of nowhere, like a Martin Luther King Jr. or a Gandhi or even a Mother Teresa, they become who they become, not because of who they are, but because of their followers. And so if something is right, if something is true, if something resonates to the people, they will follow that ideal, okay? And so I've been talking about, for the last several weeks, I've been talking about a boycott of the November election because I refuse, as an American citizen, to be sucked into voting for the lesser of two evils because I'm not ever going to vote for evil.
what about a boycott of paying our taxes at the same time?
Lori, go ahead.
It all goes together, Brian. It all goes together. Non-participation, non-cooperation is the only way to break down a system that uses people. The host has to disengage the parasite, and that's
see, they can't lock us all up. They can't lock us all up. But the only thing I'm afraid, and I think the point that some of the people are making is there's not, and I hope that there is. But what if only 5 or 10% of us do that, and then you know nobody else does it, and then maybe they can lock the 5 or 10% up for not paying their taxes or whatever.
Because you know what, only 30% of the people ever get out there historically and vote anyway, and that's been the same 30% of the people that have voted historically.
No, I totally agree about the voting thing, and I really do think that should have been from day one the whole point of everybody. And that's why they, like you said, they threw the Ron Paul thing out at us to make us think that we had a stake in the system. But obviously that's what that was for. You know, it was to make people buy into the system again. And
that's exactly what it was for, all these truthers buy back into the whole
right.
thing again.
Right, and so I mean the whole thing about it is, you know, I would love to do that. I've been saying this for over 2 years of look, the system's dead. You know, we have to make a good show, and just I'd rather go and show up in all the whatever. I'm not a big fan of the Occupy movement, but you know, show up in mass to all these parks across the world on voting day with science saying we vote nobody. We vote, you know, no confidence. We don't want your puppets.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm talking about, boycotting. I'm not talking about staying home and twiddling your thumbs and watching the TV. I'm talking about, you know, literally going out and attempting to boycott, which means blockade in any other sense of the word, try to talk people out of going in there and voting, and try to talk some sense into them, and hope that, you know, like the scabs crossing a picket line, they won't do it. And imagine, if you will, picture the little reporter for, you know, ABC News local station in your town, USA, goes to the polls and there's nobody there. And they're like, oh, how many people have been in here today? Well, we've actually had three voters who managed to get past that ragged group of people out there who's trying to block the polls, okay? And then that night, they're like, oh, well, you know, here we are at vote counting central, and we're done because there's only 20,000 votes cast today. And, you know, the whole objective is to tell the people in Washington, D.C., you guys don't have a mandate from us. Now let's start talking, because we're not going to support you. And once I put this up on my Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and I found it, and it was brilliant. There was these two Roman senators that were talking to each other, and one says to the other, you know what, I think we should put white armbands around the slaves so we'll be able to identify which ones are slaves.
Yep, I've heard about this.
And the other Roman senator says, are you crazy? Then they will be able to know how many of them there are. They will be able to see how many of them there are. We don't want that. And
no.
They're like, oh, yeah, right. That was stupid, right? So
yep.
That was one of the things that was good about the original Occupy movement, was because people of all walks of life came out because they were mad as hell and they weren't going to take it anymore. They weren't the Tea Party, and they weren't.
No, there were some real people, but then they quickly co-opted it, and then they made those people look stupid on TV.
And they made the movement look like it was full of stupid people and crazy. And then they didn't want to be associated with that anymore, so they went home and thought about, well, maybe next time.
Well, that's what happened. Well, here's the big thing, though, with the Occupy movement. I will say it definitely was co-opted from the start. And the sad thing is there was a lot of well-meaning people there. But the main point of it is you had these facilitators that were being bussed in, staying in hotels and whatnot. And they would show up every day when it was time to make the decisions and pretty much cancel out anyone's voice who was saying anything of reason and keep going along with their thing where they just want to tax a million, which is a drop in the bucket, you know, taxing the millionaires and student aid, you know, like stuff like that. Yeah, is it problems? Yes, but it's not going after the real issue. And that's the thing about
what
Occupy.
Happened,
they didn't want you. They didn't want
with
anybody.
The Occupy movement was the fact that somebody came up with some bright ass idea that you can't have a movement with leaders, that you have to have consensus building. And we all know that so far in history, that has never worked. Not once has that ever worked.
Now, Lori, weren't you big in the Occupy thing in Florida? I'm sorry, Justin, but Lori, didn't you help lead
it
in Florida?
Yes, I started it in my own community.
So see, there are real people. Like there are a lot of real people, real well-meaning people.
When we first showed up on the street, and it was. Like less than 2 weeks after the whole thing got started, it wasn't even on the news yet. They were blacking it out on the news programs, and everybody was going, hey, when are they going to start reporting about the Occupy movement? And when we started, the whole group of people was like, the first day it was 100, and the second, you know, weekend it was 200, and it was growing exponentially. And the people that were coming were grandma and grandpa and kids in college and every walk of life, rich people, poor people, hippies, freaks, all kinds of people. And they all got along just great. And they all had their own reason for being there. And what happened was once the news media decided that, well, here's how we're going to spin this. We're going to spin this, that these are the people that poop on police cars and you know, these freak sideshow people. And those are who they showed on the news. And that's what I mean by they they bastardized the movement so bad that it turned out to look like the only people who were associated with Occupy were the nutcases, and so all the rest of the real people went home because they didn't want that's not them, that's not who they are, and that was not who that was not what they wanted to bitch and complain and protest about. They wanted to protest about, you know, the banksters and the Wall Streeters and the government and the all the bad guys we all know about. And so the rest is history. So the bottom line with the whole movement starting up again in the United States is it can happen again almost overnight, but it has to happen for a specific reason. It can never happen again where it, you know, starts out with, well, we're here for this reason. And then, you know, because they have this non-leadership movement, there's no way to build a consensus without any different people.
The thing is, I disagree with you there. I think that there definitely was leaders. I mean, and that was the fact is they tried to pretend like it was a consensus.
Maybe not for all of them. Maybe not for Florida, but yes, that's what I mean. Maybe not in Florida where you were, but absolutely in New York, they were led by the UN and all this other shit.
The one near me in New Haven, it was totally. There was people that were bussed in, staying in hotels. They were another friend of mine in Toronto. Same thing, and they were the ones making the decisions, and they were the ones that were calling for the. The what's the things where they would all decide, and pretty much what they were going for was this, you know, UN goals,
to the Tea Party, and the same thing's going to happen with any group because money begets the game. Money dictates what's happening, and the people in my area, we watched that happen in New York City and in the larger cities, and we made sure that nobody was allowed to carry any political signs, and, you know, we had leadership. That's the difference. We had people who knew what this was supposed to be about and did not allow it to get hijacked. And so what I'm saying is the concept was right. And they were at the right place. People kept saying, well, why aren't they in Washington, D.C.? Why aren't they surrounding the White House and the Capitol? They're at the place where the bad guys are. They were in exactly the right place, Wall Street. That's where it all starts. Those are the puppet masters. The puppets are the ones in Washington, D.C. They get paid to do what they do and write the legislation that they write and get paid by the lobbyists. The guys on Wall Street are the guys who are paying them to do it. Okay, and there's somebody paying them. That's the whole thing. There's the people on Wall Street are not the top of the pyramid of the bad guys. Okay, there's people controlling.
They're a symptom
too. Exactly.
They're a symptom. They're not the real problem, and that's the thing that too that the Wall Street people. It's just, you know, it's just a part of the whole cancer that the whole system is. They're just another. They're the headache that you know that you got from having full blown AIDS already, you know.
Well, let me say this, and then I got to get off this phone and go to get some sleep. I got involved with Brian with the whole when I discovered him and his whole concept about the 9/11 movement and the 9/11 truth thing and his version of it. And the reason why I did that is because that truth resonated with me more than any other version of the truth that I had heard. And I am one of those people who believes that a whole lot of dominoes fell in line because of 9/11. And that I want you guys to continue, no matter what you do, to keep that in the back of your mind, that the one catalyst that began this whole chain of events was 9/11.
And yeah, oh, we all know that.
The truth can come out, until the truth can come out, and enough people believe that whatever version they need to believe, as long as they believe, that it is inextricably tied to the whole rest of the cabal movement that these, the whole rest of the game that these guys are playing on us. And I commend you guys both for keeping up with that, but also for branching it out and showing all of the other tentacles that are tied to this big octopi we call the cabal or the elite or whoever they are.
Right.
And we really do know who they are. We just are good American citizens who don't believe that it's right to go pointing your finger at the guilty until proven, they're innocent until proven guilty, and we don't know any other way to go about it than that way we've always been taught. And so we got to rethink that, because we know they're guilty, we know they're bad, and we know that they're up to no good and to the ultimate game of take over and take control of everybody. So,
Lord, I want to thank you for being open-minded enough to actually look at my 9/11 information and Justin and everybody else that's been helping me work on it, because it's so far down the rabbit hole and so many people won't even look at it. The alternative media will tell them not to look at it. And when you really start to look at the things that we have out there, I mean, it's things you can see with your own eyes, and that really is the catalyst to everything. That's the catalyst to all these invasions, to all the financial takeover, to if people want to think there's a police state coming,
terrorism.
Everything. It's all from 9/11, and it was all a staged Hollywood event.
Yep.
I've been doing this on the radio, Lori, okay?
I know, and
I haven't had one victim's family call me out and say, you're an a-hole, yada, 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 yada. And I've called them out on the radio, and I've tried to contact people, and it's all bullshit.
Well, you know what? It is, and we don't know where it's going to come from. The one thing, I always call it that, the one thing. There's always one thing that triggers everything else.
Yep.
We don't know where that one thing is, but we do know that one of those one things is definitely 9/11.
Well,
and
I do have something.
I don't care how you call it, whether you call it inside job, whether you call it a hoax, whether you call it, traitors, however you couch it, and until and unless people are willing to open their eyes and see that there are more than that hoax going on, that is the leader of the hoaxes, but that there are way more than that going on.
Oh, yes. But once you can understand that, you can understand them all. You know what I mean?
The Federal Reserve, going back to where we were at the beginning, the Federal Reserve is a hoax in itself.
Right.
Because
when
you take a look at the fact that it's fake money, when you take a look at the fact that there's supposed to be these, Wizard of Oz people who are supposed to be controlling the destiny of our economic future, and yet they can't figure out what's going on, and nobody goes to jail, and nobody gets in trouble, and these guys broke our entire economy down with the foreclosures of houses and the housing bubble and the fake loans, and all that stuff is all tied together, because it all started coming together at the same time. And once they got 9/11 to happen and got people looking over here, over here, it's the magician game, look over here, then they did all these other things while we were busy looking over there. And so...
Oh, they passed any legislation they wanted. They did whatever the fuck they wanted after that. Excuse my language.
I always look at it like this. This is the way that I get rid of fear. If I fear that I don't have enough money, then I start from the premise of, well, what if nobody had any money? What would we do? And then go from there. Every time you run into a stumbling block of what would we do if we didn't have it the way it's always been, then just imagine a scenario where it just isn't that way anymore. Now what would we do? That makes you have to get creative to come up with an alternative to fill the void of the thing that isn't real anymore. And on that note, I'm going to bed, guys.
Lori, I want to thank you for having you on. I just want to mention one thing about next week. Next week, we do have a really good We're going to have a little 9/11 show, and I actually have somebody that was in Manhattan on that day with some really, really good information that ties together so many of the things that I've been saying, and Justin and James and other people that have been on the show over the last, you know, 6 months to a year. And it seems like we actually have a legit, like, person that tried to get into New York, saw a lot of the things that we saw, that we think we saw, and, you know, I hope you can tune in and listen to that, because it's going to be some great stuff, because that's part of the thing is, we figured out the stuff about the planes, we figured out the stuff about the fake victims, but we still haven't figured out everything about what they did in New York City itself to fool everybody, to make them think what they were seeing is what they were seeing on TV. And next week, that's what that's going to be all about, because we have somebody that was actually down there. And I would really love if you could tune in. It's going to be one of our best shows ever. And if you could tune into that show and listen to this witness, and it's just, it's unbelievable, the stories of how fake it was. And he used words that I didn't use with him talking about TV show. It looked like a stage lighting. It looked like Hollywood. I won't get too deep into it right now, but it's definitely the one interview we've been waiting. We've been trying to get somebody that was actually in Manhattan to talk to us forever and ever and ever.
Well,
and I think
that sounds like that's going to put you on the map even better than you already are, Brian and Justin. And again, I definitely look forward to tuning into that. And I will make sure you put a link on my Facebook wall for my friends to take a look at it, and I'll hype it up. And,
yeah, please, because this is going to be a good one, because I know people come on and they hear a lot of our theories and stuff, and then even when I walk them through the blogs and show them the pictures, I think once I do that, it's kind of hard for them to deny some of the things when you're looking at it and I'm telling you. But now we finally have got somebody that stepped forward, and he's validating a lot of these things, and I really think some of the information he's given us, I don't think there's any way this guy is a shill. I mean, he talked about some things that I've never heard before that they did down around Ground Zero to keep people away from the buildings, to make it look like it was you know, this busy scene. And I'm not going to get too into detail, but they had all types of nonsense going on down there. And it's going to be a great show next week. But I know you got to get to bed. I want to thank you for coming on talking about the Fed tonight. And you're welcome on the show anytime, Lori. And I put your link right below. If you look right below the chat, I put it in the comments, but I'm going to put it in the chat too so everybody can see it.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Lori, appreciate having you on. Definitely glad to hear from you. Even though, you know, we agree on a few small parts, I think the most part, you know, we're on the same page 99%. And this one, you know. Thank you for doing what you do, and everybody check out Lori's show. So.
Lori, what time is your show, though? I know it's on Saturday. What time is it in the morning, and what coast?
It's East Coast. It's from 9 to 10:30, and it's on Blog Talk Radio, and it's called Truth or Consequences.
And that's East Coast time, right?
Yes, East Coast time.
East Coast time.
All right, you guys have a super night.
All right, you guys.
You too, Lori.
You too, Lori. Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really, really appreciate it. And anytime you want
my pleasure.
Justin back on, let us know. Just shoot me an email and we'll come on, you know?
Definitely.
Cool, my pleasure.
We need
talk
to keep in touch.
Later.
The people like us need to keep in touch. Okay, Lori, I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
You have a
great night.
Night. You too. Bye.
All right, guys. Guys, on that note, we are going to actually go and take a quick break, and we will be back in about 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. We're just going to play a quick song. Everybody get up, get a drink, and we will be right back, everybody. And where is that video I had? Well, I guess I'll just play the one I didn't want to play yet. We're going to analyze this video later, but I'm going to play it for now. We'll analyze it when we come back at some point. Yeah.
is over. No, it ain't over yet.
Okay, everybody, we are back. That is not exactly the video I wanted to play yet. We were gonna wait a little bit to get into the whole Illuminati music business thing, but that's a video by Nelly Furtado called "Big Hoops." Justin, you here?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now you said you think this is an older video, right?
Actually, I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure either. I think it's new, to tell you the truth.
I think you could be right. I think the one, I don't know, for some reason I was mistaking the title with another one.
Yeah, but I think that it is a new video. I'm just trying to bring our chat back up right now. I'm trying to see what people are saying in our chat. Did you guys get to listen to that? She goes through the whole video, Nelly Furtado, and, you know, we're just getting into this. Well, Justin's been doing it for a while. I'm kind of just getting into the whole, you know, symbolism thing and understanding what it all means. But if you watch that video, you'll notice a lot of people, not even just that video, a lot of people like Rihanna and Lady Gaga and all these people, they'll do this little thing where they'll do like the seeing eye pyramid over their one eye, but they'll try and do it discreetly, like it's not a big deal, like they'll be fixing their hair, or they'll be doing, acting like they're scratching their eye, and then they'll actually put this triangle over their eye, kind of like Jay-Z does with the rock thing. And this whole Nelly Furtado video, she does it about 30 times in the video. About 30 times. I know we went on break, and not everybody was synced up with the song at the same time because I didn't quite have it ready on time. I'm assuming everybody's back now. Did everybody get to pretty much see that video? Can you guys just put a okay in the chat so we know that you saw it? Excellent. New York saw it. Simone, you saw it, I'm assuming.
Saw it. Official masshole accent.
Don't be making fun of my accent, you Connecticut mother effer.
You know what's funny, Brian? Actually, in Eastern Connecticut, they talk like you. It's not as much. It's more of a Rhode Island one. But I used to know a lot of people from, you know, I used to go to a campground up there, and it was, you know, up by the casinos. They kind of have the Boston accent.
Now, I agree with a lot of what Lori says, and I want to say that we don't all have to agree on everything, okay? Now, let me just speak for 1 minute here, guys. We don't all have to agree on everything. We can agree on 80% of things, but if we all join together, like me and Justin, for instance, and people in our groups like Simone and Lori and other people, if we agree on 80% of things, maybe we can help each other see the other 20%, you know what I mean? And I do believe that they're pushing for a new world order. That is one thing I do disagree with a little bit. I want to play this one more video, and then we're going to get right back into the show. We're going to get into the Olympic stuff. I'm going to play this video by Jay-Z called No Church in the Wild. Justin, is there any way you could just pull up the lyrics real quick while I'm pulling up the video?
Yeah. Yep. Okay,
you pull up the lyrics. I'm going to pull up the video. I'm going to post the video in the chat, okay, guys? And what we're going to do is we'll just play it through the stream, or we could have you – we'll actually have you all just – we'll play it through the stream so it's in the audio for anybody that listens after. But if you guys please click on the link, okay, that I leave in the stream for it. Watch this video and look at the message that it's portraying. It shows protesters being beaten down by New World or police state, whatever you want to call it, by the cops. They talk about ending all religions and actually starting their own religion. That's what they talk about, and they say no church in the wild. And it's absolutely crazy that, stuff.
And that.
Go ahead, Justin.
That's the new world order for you. Yeah, no, that's the new world order for you too. That's the biggest thing that they want to do is, you know, and that's why we've seen so much of you know them throwing religions under the bus. And I'm not a religious person. In fact, that I don't go to churches, and I grew up Catholic. I don't acknowledge my Catholic upbringing though, because I really have trouble with everything that's, you know, that I know about the Vatican and the Jesuits and everything. But you know, you got to wonder how much of this stuff is being thrown out intentionally just to discredit religion, so they can come forward and put in a new religion, based on, you know, whether it's Gaia worship or, you know, or just a new name for their new Saturn worship or, you know, whatever else. And that's the thing. I think they're going to get rid of, you know, your three main religions for that.
Okay. So guys, here's what we're going to do. I posted it right in the chat there. Obviously you guys can see the video with the play symbol. What we'll do, since we all need to be kind of in sync here, I'll count down from five and we'll all press play. It's that simple. Okay. And then after you stop playing it, click the thing that Justin just put. I'm assuming that's the lyrics, Justin. Justin, is that the lyrics you just put at the bottom of the chat? Did I lose Justin? I think I did. Justin, you still there, buddy? Yep, it looks like I lost Justin for a second. He said he'd be right back. Okay, guys, I'm sorry about that, guys. Justin said he'd be right back, and I didn't see the message in the Skype. Guys, what we're going to do is I don't want all you guys to sit here all night and watch music videos. We've done this before. This is the last one I'm going to play. I stumbled across this the other night, and I was like, wow, this is really a strong message here. Good. Just press play on the video. Let's count down from five. And after I count down from five, press play, and then click Justin's little link near the bottom of the chat and read the lyrics as the song plays. And watch the video, though. Watch what's going on in the video, and you tell me what message they're trying to push. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. Don't forget to click the lyrics, too. When you get to the lyrics, just minimize the lyrics window. Make it smaller, you know what I mean? So you can see the video. Not minimize it, but make it smaller.
coke on her black skin, made it stripe like a zebra. I call that jungle fever. You in that control, the threesome, just roll the weed up until I get me some. We formed a new religion, no sins as long as there's permission. And deception is the only felony, to never fuck nobody without telling me. Sunglasses and Advil, last night was mad real. Sun coming up 5 a.m., I wonder if they got calves still. Think about the girl in all leopard, who was rubbing the wood like Kiki Shepherd. Two tattoos, one red, no apologies. The other said love is cursed by monogamy. That's something that the pastor don't preach. That's something that a teacher can't teach. When we die, the money we can't keep. But we probably spend it all because the pain ain't cheap. Preach.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer?
Everybody, I am back. I don't know how many of you guys are back. I'm hoping you all got to see that. Justin, are you back with us now?
Yep, I'm back with you. Just had to feed the cat real quick.
Yeah, no, it was perfect timing. And I know you've already seen the video a few times, so that was right. Perfect timing for that. I'm assuming that most of you people have probably maybe not seen it. Some of you have. What are some of your guys' opinion on that? I mean, that video is really pretty disturbing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, what is the good message in that video? I mean, really. What's up, True North? How you doing? Thank you. Thank you for coming along. Thank you for everything you've done for helping promote our show as well. I'd like to thank you. I know that I haven't probably done that enough, but thank you very, very much for helping us out.
Yeah, that's Trevor from True North from Free Think Radio, and they usually simulcast our stuff. I believe they are tonight, and just wanted to say what's up to a good friend of mine.
I mean, in that video, it shows protesters that haven't really done anything wrong. Guys, let's not forget, protesting's supposed to be legal. You're supposed to be able to protest. Never mind all this bullshit now with these free speech zones and all this other shit. Right, you're supposed to be able to protest something if you don't agree with it, right? Oh, that's Nelson, not Trevor, Justin.
Nelson, how you doing, Nelson?
You're supposed to be able to protest if you don't agree with it, okay? With anything. And this whole video is them beating down protesters. And then if you go back and look at the lyrics, Kanye West is talking about they formed a new religion and all this other crap, and they want to end all the other religions. And then they're showing you this wild, wild scenery, and the church, the name of the song is called No Church in the Wild. Well, what is that supposed to make you think? That they want to end all religion? Now, I might be going on a stretch here, but what do you guys
think? Not at all.
What do you guys think? In the chat, what do you guys think?
You know, in my opinion, while they're typing or whatever, I'll agree that most of religion is bad, and it really is. It's fucked nowadays, and you look at it, and you look at who the representatives are for. You know, no, most of us know that all Muslims aren't terrorists, and there's very few that actually aren't, hired by the Mossad. But, you know, just look at what they've done to the Muslim name. You know, just look what they've done to, you know, the Jews, you know, whether or not, you know, it was the Zionists doing it. People just equate Israel's actions with, you know, with Jews. And the same thing is as far as like Catholics, you know, cause people are associating Christians with Catholics. And then even you have the Christian right that is so like, you know, far out and everything, evangelicals. And these people are co-opted as well from, you know, the Vatican, you know, or they're Zionist Christians. And, you know, for the most part, you know, they're throwing it under the bus. Now, the thing about it is they're not doing it, you know, for the good of people to get rid of mind control. They just want to replace it with a new mind control, you know, and that's what it is. That's what's turning the old world order, which was really is now, into the new world order. And that's, they need a few more steps symbolically to get it done. You know, one of them, of course, is joining us all, like, you know, militarily, joining us all monetarily, and then joining us all in the one world religion, you know, whether it breaks up into three sects after, like they normally like to do or whatever. But it's all about starting over and making the people think that something has changed. And that's why we're seeing a lot of stuff about revolution, a lot of stuff where, you know, a lot of it is staged and whatnot because they want people to, you know, to follow suit. And you know, it's just, it's sad because, you know, a lot of people out there are out for good causes, but, you know, like everything else, it gets co-opted. And, the, you know, the best thing I can think we could really do is to you know, boycott all these, you know, everything, the elections, you know, it's like we're talking about Lori, but, you know.
You're talking about, you know, I'm just saying, and I will do this, but, I mean, these are some of the people that I thought were, like, some of my favorite people, you know what I mean? I never really realized that what they were trying to push, you know? Like we've talked right. about this many times, you know, Jay-Z's my favorite rapper. But now with all this stuff with Kanye West and then all these crazy messages in these videos, he knows exactly what he's doing. And we're not going to do a whole show about, you know, him and studying under Dr. Malachi York and all that stuff again. And last show we read the letter from Prodigy from jail about it. These guys know what they're doing. There might be some of them that don't, and some of them that are just told, hey, do this in the video, do that in the video. But people like Rihanna, Jay-Z, Lady Gaga, they all know what they're doing. And that Nelly Furtado video, you think she doesn't know what she's doing? You don't think she asked somebody, hey, why do you want me to hold this triangle over my eye the whole video? You think she didn't ask anybody about that? Of course she did.
Yeah.
Of course she did. Well,
the whole thing about it is, and I've talked about it before, it's just simply energy vampirism, and that's what they're doing. They're taking, you know, everybody that's going out and paying for these Jay-Z shows or Nelly Furtado or anyone else that's doing it and giving, you know, and sitting there throwing up these pyramids and just, get, you know, and to them, it's just like the same thing as they get pleasure, or not even pleasure, but they get power from raping little kids or whatever because it's the innocence of it. And if they can't rape your kid, then they're going to take your kid and mentally, you know, have them going for, you know, the evil in the world. And that's the main thing about it. That's why they co-opt every form of entertainment. And that's, you know, that's been the oldest trick in the book. You control the entertainment, you control generations, you know. So, I mean, I think it's definitely something. And just to clear up something in the chat, no, religion has no place in government, none at all. One thing that I think people need to, you know, let go of as far as, you know.
And that's supposed to be separate. Church and state is supposed to be separate. I mean, yes. We've heard it forever. But it's really not. If you think about the way that they use church and state together, think about government and how they use, let's get back to 9/11 for a second, just for a second. I mean, is church and state really separate when they use politics to use racism against Muslims? Is that church and state being separate? It doesn't sound
no,
like
not
the
at
same.
All.
It sounds like that's, it's one and that's, the same.
Yeah, that's hijacking, you know, media too, and having the media do it, and that's, you know, and that's all, that's what they do. That's what media is for. You know, I saw a good quote the other day, and it said, "As I'm just going to you know, give you most of what I remember, something like, it's from George Orwell, and I think 1984, where it says, journalism is, journalism is the stuff that nobody wants you to see. The stuff that we see pretty much is public. Shit, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. All right, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not propaganda. Oh, public relations. That's what it is. Public relations. The stuff that we're given is public relations, pretty much.
Why does everybody think I'm from New York? I'm not from New York. I'm reading the chat. True North Show. I'm near Boston. Who is it tonight? Nelson, I'm near Boston. Yeah, Chowder. That's Boston. That's not New York, buddy. New York is coffee talk. Oh, that's funny. Oh, Jackie's backy. If you guys haven't seen those videos yet, we'll do that another night. That's just for fun. Those Jackie's Packies videos are a riot. Bobby brought those up in the chat. Felt so good. It's not New England. New York isn't part of New England. The whole New England accent, I mean, yeah, it has maybe one accent, but New York is totally different.
If anything, and then there's the tri-state thing.
Yeah, there's similarities. Yeah, and just like the similarities between New York and Canadian accents, but not that much. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit. You can hear it a little bit.
New York and Canadian? Come on, I don't know about that. New York and Canadian.
I think some of the southern Canadians do sound a little bit like some of the northern New Yorkers.
Canadians sound like the people, like, not all, but I'm saying some of the real, like, woodsy Canadians out there, they sound like the people in Fargo, more or less. I know,
oh,
it's
yeah,
weird, because Nelson, they'll sound
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, no,
like
but I'm talking part. About the people that are actually close to the New York border, like,
definitely. Probably like Montreal and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The ones that aren't French.
Yeah, the ones that don't speak, you know, with a huge French accent when they're trying to speak English, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. No, even where I live, Southern Connecticut, we, you know, some of us have somewhat like a New York tinge to our accent. We're not like the people from Brooklyn, but, you know, the closer you get to New York, the more you get, you know, like anything else.
This guy thought I was Canadian. New York in the house. I thought you were Canadian, Brian. Get the hell out of here. When have I ever said, hey?
I think he's breaking your balls over the New York right. sound, like Canadians all right. one.
All right.
No, I know. Yeah, Nelson has a Canadian accent on purpose. Nelson accentuates his Canadianism.
Now they want me to say words. Lord. Lori, I'll do you a favor. I'll say draw. I would say draw. And I guess, yeah. I guess that would be one syllable when it's supposed to be two, so I probably do say that word wrong. If I was going to say open my draw, I would say open my draw and take my clothes out. That's how I would say it. You know what, though, guys? All that aside, we're all people. We're all Americans. We're all Canadians, we're all human beings, and everybody's equal, and these other people don't have a right to control us the way they do. If they were going to control us in a good manner, and they were good-meaning people, you know, that'd be one thing, but it's not like that at all, and that's why we do shows like this, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's the thing, and, you know, we're not perfect, we're not out here to, impress anybody with the way we talk, and you know, and that's the thing, we're normal people, we're your everyday people, you know, you go to Brian's town or my town, you're gonna look at, you know, like it's no different than probably where you're from, you know, most of the people
and
out there.
Not only that, guys, if you go other countries like Iran and these other places, they're not much different than us either. They have different people, different religions, and guess what, guys, they don't want to strap on backpacks and blow you up. That's a bunch of bullshit. I'll tell you right now, and I asked Justin this earlier. Maybe one day we could get somebody on that could talk a little bit about the Quran and just what's really
yeah.
there. Do we really think that these people go to paradise and have all these women and stuff if they kill, like, 30 people with a suicide bomb?
Well,
I mean, how absurd is that? Is that really you know?
No. Here's the thing, and the thing is, there's different books that the Muslims read or whatever, and for the most part, the only ones that have anything close to that would be the Wahhabis, and Wahhabis are generally regarded by Muslims to be the sellouts, the ones that you know, were co-opted a long time ago or whatever, you know, and the ones that are that have this and there's very few are Wahhabis, you know. It's you know, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe Sufi is another you know, one of the same kind or whatever. But either way, to make a long story short, they don't represent Muslims. They don't represent, you know, it's just like you know, like Catholics doesn't represent Christians. Like, you know, it's just something where, you know, they wanted to demonize something, you know, and that's pretty much what it is. But that thing was totally made up. But yeah, getting back to that, I have a few Muslims out there that would be more than happy, I'm sure, to come out and explain, you know, this to the people out there that really don't know, that haven't, you know, talked to them. And, you know, but there, that whole stuff that we've been fed about, you know, the 72 virgins and everything, you know, it's just as crazy as them saying that Osama bin Laden really got thrown in the ocean to because of his Islamic, you know, background or whatever, which is really, I looked down the list of Islamic burial things, and that was like number 7 on the list, and that's like only if you're like on a boat when you die. So it's just total bullshit.
That's all a bullshit story anyway, so it doesn't even really matter. Of course. I mean, that whole fairy tale. I mean, whether the guy was real at one point and part of the CIA, or whether he was made up, we know the whole goddamn Al-Qaeda thing, at least since after the whole 1979-1980s era, we know that it's all propaganda. All these attacks are related, guys, and we haven't got into all of them yet, but we're going to do some other shows where we're going to do like 7/7 and the, you know, the Andrew Breivik and the Bali bombings and the Spain train bombings. And there's so many similarities. This isn't just the United States doing this. This is a worldwide entity. There's no way it's not. There's just too many similarities between all of it, and it's an agenda that they're trying to push across everybody. Because when you put people in fear, people will go along with almost anything. It's true. They want to change the world to the way they want, and they want to scare the crap out of everybody. But you know what? Let's not believe in any of it anymore. Let's not believe in it. How about this? That's a bad way to say it. Because obviously there's real things that happen in the world. I'm not going to be the guy to walk around and tell you, hey, everything's fake, because I'm going to sound like an idiot. But let's look at things before we decide that they're real. And let's investigate them.
Right. Nowadays.
Let's not just say that they're real because somebody told us they were. Let's prove that they're real before we spit it out to somebody else and share it on Facebook and pass it around to 1,000 people. Why don't you read the goddamn article and then go read another 5 articles about it, watch a few videos on it, talk to a few people, and then comment on it. You know what I mean? And nobody does that. Not nobody, but not enough people do that. People will just take a story and just post it. And 90% of it's bullshit.
Right. It's all about discernment. That's the problem. And there's so many people out there that they trust these Alex Joneses, and they trust them, and they believe, well, hey, he posted it, so I'm just going to post it. It must be legit. And you know how many stories I found on there that were totally overblown and just like, I don't know, I wouldn't have the balls to put my name next to it. And, you know, just recently...
Sorry to interrupt. My mic was low. You can hear me better now, right, guys?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My mic was near my ear. Sorry about that. You guys, go ahead. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, no, say that there was a recent one where there was a big YouTube video, and it was on, you know, I believe it was on Jones's site, where it was like, you know, Bilderberg, Jim Tucker had a source that overheard that Bilderberg wanted to kill Ron Paul, and it just, so many people went out and posted this and acted like it was. And to me, it's just laughable because, you know, knowing what we know, that he's just another pawn, another, you know, politician, whatever. You know, it's just the fact that his big money guy, Peter Thiel, was at the same meeting as on the steering committee. And the fact that they, you know, this was just a way to push, you know, another way for them to push Bilderberg on people and to push Ron Paul on people. And to make you think that he's really an enemy of the state. To me, it was just laughable.
The whole thing's laughable. It's like, okay, voting's fake, but vote for Ron Paul. And then it's, okay, these guys are all puppets controlled by puppet masses, but when the politicians and everybody meet, it's this big, huge, you know, we got to talk about Bilderberg this, Bilderberg that. Let's talk about the people behind the scenes, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and that's the problem with me that I find, too, is that...
That's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to find who the people behind the scenes are.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Let's not misconstrue people and say that it stops at Bilderberg when we all know that Bilderberg...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't at all. I'm saying that's like a front. That's like a front for the puppets. That's what I'm saying and why it makes no sense.
What I'm saying, though, is, yeah, but Jones actually tries to make people believe that this is the head order.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. We're making the same point here.
Right. Now, you know what it was? You cut out for a minute on my headphones.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. We're making the same point. We're making the exact same point that it's you know, he wants you to think, okay, voting's fake, but vote for Ron Paul. And then he wants to tell you these guys are all puppets. But when the 130 of them meet, I mean, these are the guys that control the world. What about all these other people, like the Vatican, the Club of Rome, the Club of 300, all these people? Those are the people that are probably really running the world, you know? And I don't know enough about this stuff to give you the names of all these groups. And it's not just one group, guys. There's a whole bunch of them. I mean, they're all working in conjunction together.
Exactly. You know, and that's the main point of it. Until people realize that
we've been down this road many times. Let's switch directions a little bit. What do you think?
Definitely want to switch it around. We've done the Ron Paul thing. We know that his I'll just break it down real quick for anyone that wants to know. The whole gold standard thing is a scam. Besides that, he's got a lot of ties to the JBS, which has a lot of ties to many known Knights of Malta. In fact, their president and founder of Knights of Malta's hangs around with Alex Jones, which should be enough for you to scratch your head there. Many friends in the Council for National Policy.
Supports SOPA, the NDAA secretly.
we won't even throw any doubt out there, you know, for that stuff. But I know what you mean by the people that he supported, yes. But real quick, let's get into, you know, the other thing. Probably not a Freemason, but a Scottish Rite Mason. And that's why he said, I'm not a Freemason, but he didn't say I'm not a Mason.
What's the difference? I don't know the difference. Exactly. Explain it to me. What's the difference?
There is no difference. It's just Freemason. It just has a different meaning. It's just in their circles. And
you're coming in staticky a little bit, Justin. I don't know if you're far away from your computer.
No, I'm not. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. A little staticky. Yeah. Anyways, we'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, guys, after we're done playing the song, just refresh the Dose of Reality page. I put some new images up there. Justin, what would you call these images that you sent me in my Facebook chat? What would we call these Olympic and other images that we want to show people tonight?
It's pretty much, can you hear me now? Because they're saying my mic's cutting out.
Yeah, it's still cutting out a little bit, yeah. Why don't we take a break right now, guys, and you can maybe reset your mic. How about that?
Yeah, I'll see if I can check it. All right.
All right, guys, we're gonna take just a quick 3-minute break. We're gonna play a song. And as soon as we get back, we're going to get a little bit into a whole bunch of stuff. A whole bunch of stuff about, you know, some satanic symbols that even started way back with Hitler and leading into the Olympics and some of the it's just really some crazy stuff. I think Justin can explain it a little better. I'll help fill in a little more I'll kind of take the backseat a little bit on it. But right now, guys, we're going to go to a quick break. Don't go anywhere. If you need a drink or anything, guys, by all means, get up and get it now. And we'll be back in exactly what? We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Okay, guys? So just stick with us. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
Yeah. Your boss should have told you I was coming, nigga. Piss him. LAVIFS. Yes. Let's go. Now tell me, you're my only nigga that's sick of Jay. Sick of this freaking lane. Maybe the bucket you finna kick any minute of the day. Nigga just playing what you is. I'm hearing that you amazing, so explain. The pyramid is what you said on the stage. Is it the same as what you look when you bang with rock? Nigga, you rap. How is it that you can page with rock? Or is it that it's something that's way deeper than we can see? This and Jesus, seeing how naive people can be. Ain't it strange? He repeatedly saying he got, then he got to call him over the name of God, Jehovah. I studied you, nigga, cause I was a fan. But I'm a fan of the Lord first, so I will be damned if I'm a legend. Over, with the fans toes up, have them chant over for Satan soldier. Over, over is what you got them yelling, but they looking to the stage, they're looking up to heaven. Nobody
about you and the Lord believer. Know about Broly and the cult you believe in. Homie, I'm a Christian to the core. If you listen, he dissing like every Christian but Dior. So nigga, we finna war. He on top of the column and I'm at the bottom of the bottom. He richer than me in dollars. I'm rich in spirit, I got him. I'm David E. Goliath. The Lord is my power, so I don't need not a dollar to snipe him out of the tower. Is it just in my mind, or is it just that you're blind to the rock of weird designs, new symbolism and signs? And if you listen, you see how much he be dissing God. He ain't Satan, he just a slave in his assembly line. Conspiracy, nah, go ahead and look it up. I ain't never been a chef for me to ever cook it up. I just hope people don't brush this off, disregard and cut this off. Now if you get me to say, maybe you got some explaining to do. My nigga, you got some explaining to do. And I'm listening, cause all the evidence is saying is true. So homie, you got some explaining to do. And I'm listening, I hope you're ready. My love is coming for you. And if you have some explaining to do, homie, you gon' have some explaining to do. And we listening. Aight, Jay, I saw your new video. On to the next one, far from the best one. All black hoodie, white boy, black lipstick. Voodoo paint with skulls and blood dripping. They ain't even hip-hop, nigga, that's gothic. All black everything, guess he wasn't kidding. And what's with all the black crows? Oh, your girl's a black bird, satanic symbol flashing when you lack words. Two flashes of the Baphomet, one flash of Christ on the cross with bullets on side marking him. I'm lost again, what it gotta do with the song? And if it doesn't, which it doesn't, then tell me what all you marketing. All black album, how come 99 problems, a song number 9. So the outcome upside down is 3 6's, followed by a song called Lucifer. How did we miss it? What about the missus? Used to be a Christian, now she rocks Baphomet heads in the pictures. Nah, that's Sasha, that's someone different. But what about Rihanna? I heard she with the business. I bet y'all all do songs with Lady Gaga. But as soon as I get in the game, it's baby Papa. I never call Jay-Z Hova like he my guy. It's only one of those, the father I call Abba. So watch close if you cherish the Bible. Bury your rifles, carry your Bible, cause the war's on. Seek the truth, it's there in your Bible. Quit serving these American idols, if you with me to say. Nigga, you got some explaining to do. My nigga, you got some explaining to do. And I'm listening, cause all the evidence is saying is true. So homie, you got some explaining to do. And I'm listening, I hope you're ready. My love is coming for you. And if you have some explaining to do, homie, you gon' have some explaining to do. And we listening.
Get more in depth if your voice really real enough. I'll explain later, I'll explain later. It's the return of the God Mason. It's the return of the God Mason. Bastards, hope you've been reading your psalms and chapters, paying your tithes, being good Catholics. I'm coming. Devil's pie, say some dessert for us.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. Just got to get Justin back in here for a second. He lost the link to the show. I'm just sending it to him, and we will be right back with you.
There he is. Can you hear me?
Yep, Justin, we hear you. We hear you fine, and we know you have an echo, and now it is gone, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
No echo, beautiful.
Okay, awesome. Where do we want to go from here? Guys, what we want you to do, actually, is take the Dose of Reality page, the page that you've been on, the page you've been chatting on, and just refresh it, because I got some new images up there that you need to see. I uploaded a whole bunch of symbolism that's going to lead into this. What we're going to do tonight, guys, is we planned on talking about the Olympics and what they use it for as far as symbolism, dating all the way back to even the Nazi days, the 1972 kidnappings, the Beijing Olympics, the Atlanta Olympics, the upcoming London Olympics, pretty much the whole deal. And I'm gonna actually let Justin kind of lead off on this and go over what some of the symbolism means. I'm just trying to find the page. I lost the page myself here for a second. Just give me 1 second.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'll just start with a brief, the history pretty much of the Olympics. I mean, it's always been a place where, besides the UN, it's probably the next biggest place you would think of for the world coming together for a big event. And, it's really where, we saw it the 36 games right before the rise of the Third Reich with Hitler. The whole symbology at those games and everything and whatnot. And you know, from there on, we go to 72. You know, 36 in the scheme of things. I think it was just, you know, putting him on a world, stage, getting him ready to be the next boogeyman type thing. And of course, you know, they pretended they made it like a, you know, like he didn't acknowledge any of the, you know, black athletes or Jewish athletes, you know, and a lot of that, I'm not sure if I think a lot of it might be propaganda, to this day, but regardless of that, we get into 1972, which if most of you have probably seen the movie Munich, which, pretty much is, you know, makes you think that the, you know, Mossad is a bunch of heroes for going around and killing all these people responsible for the act that took place there. And here's the thing, I mean, whatever happened there is definitely messed up. But you know, the whole symbology following the games and everything, and the fact that it was the first Olympics, you know, back in Germany since World War II, it was after, you know, the whole Holocaust thing. We've talked about that before. And how a lot of it is really, you know, the evidence for it is really low. You know, it's not that I deny the Holocaust. It's just, you know, it was a lot less scale. And as far as a lot of the evidence we've been told has been bullshit. But getting it, you know, back into 72. Now, here's the thing: we have a symbol for the game that looks like it's a black, you know, another black sun type thing. And it's very strange because you look at the same thing, and it's also a symbol of the Nazis. The Nazis were big, you know, black sun worshippers. It also was used. It's you know, their symbol, and of course, you know, Hitler was, you know, learned from the Jesuits. He was, you know, known for that. You know, and also he was, you know, He was by a lot of people with a lot of pull, in my opinion. I believe he was a total puppet. You know, so, and here you have the 72 games, all this symbology. And, you know, the sun stuff, when you compare it to some of these other images, you just think, you know, it's really insane. And then the whole fact of we had a group called Black September, you know, that went and killed 11 Israeli athletes. You know, so, I mean, right there, it's just... You know, it's kind of blatantly the numerology in your face, and you know, and the whole thing of September. You know, is that foreshadowing for 9/11? I can't say with 100% certainty, but you know, it definitely seems to be pretty strange. You know, the whole story behind it all. You know, and I'm not saying it was staged or anything, because you know, I do believe it probably happened, but my guess is it was probably a Mossad job. You know, and they probably got, I believe the head of Black September was a guy by the name of Abdul Nassal, and he's believed to have been a Mossad operative. So, from there, you know, whether you believe it was done by the Mossad or really done by, you know, the PLO, you know, Palestinian Liberation Organization, you know, the whole thing was very, you know, leading up to it. Then we have the 1984 Olympics. You know, which was the ones in Los Angeles, and you know the whole thing about those games is we had the fake an actual UFO thing with an alien walking down and everything and pretending, you know, so you know you have to get into that and wonder, was that foreshadowing for something else?
Justin, you still there?
Is that foreshadowing possible? No, I don't want to call him anymore because. I almost think the hologram idea. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, Justin, you know what? Why don't you let me take over for a second, disconnect the call with you, and reconnect. How about that?
All right.
Guys, we're just going to reconnect with Justin because he's real choppy again.
I'm gonna have to shut down the show chat because that's what I think is making me lag.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
You sound clear now. Did you already shut it down?
I'm in the process of it now. Yeah, now it's...
Yeah,
it's,
you're clear now. Let me ask these other people if you sound clear.
That's how cheap my computer is.
Yeah, that, you need a new one.
I really do. And that's because there's a lot more information. And, you know, I was going to kind of go off some of those for as far as, you know, the symbology behind a lot of the stuff, but you know, I can never get a link up here to stay when I'm on here. But anyway, no, you know, the whole thing is, can you hear me now 100%, Bri?
Yeah. Laura said you're clear now. Other people said you were choppy. Yeah, more people are saying you're clear now. Looks like it's coming through. But I do agree with New York. It sounds like you have a loose wire on your headset somewhere.
I think that might be the case too. But I'm actually holding it in my hand right now.
Well, you're gonna have to get some electrical tape, buddy.
Yeah, thing is though, if I move it a little bit the other way, then I don't know. I'm over here. I'm balling on a budget, so.
I hear you. That's why I'm saying electrical tape and not a laptop, buddy. I know how it goes.
Hey, if any of our listeners have an extra laptop over there.
If anybody's got an extra roll of electrical tape, hey, Bobby, can you run a roll over to him?
That's funny. You know what? Bobby's the reason that usually my computers are up and running.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me the usual the reason they're broken because he's too busy putting his fist through them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, guys, you're right, True North.
He does that to his own.
True North, you're right. We're budget balling, but you know what? We all are because we don't have these big names behind us because once you do, then you're no longer spreading the truth. You're spreading what you're told to spread. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I pay for this shit out of my pocket, guys, you know? I pay for this Skype account. I pay for the website. I pay for the bandwidth. I pay for the internet. And that's why we don't have better systems, you know? We could use Blog Talk Radio, have it archive all our shows, do all that. But, you know, if you do more than an hour of Blog Talk Radio, they charge you like $99 a month. You guys know that? Who's going to pay $99 a month to try and spread the truth when everybody else is trying to make you bankrupt? I mean, we just can't do it. So what I did is I figured out how to build a radio station by myself, by Googling. I think I did a pretty damn good job. It usually works pretty good. We had issues last week for sure, but now we have a backup plan. And I think we've been pretty good tonight. I think your mic's just a little screwed up, Justin. I think as far as connection-wise, we're all right. I think you just need a new mic or fix your wire. No, I might even have an extra mic I can send you.
No, to be honest, I need a new computer. No, it's not my mic. It's more my headphone wire is what it is for some reason, and it's affecting my mic because
I might even be able to send you a computer, Justin.
All right. Well, that'd be great.
I'm serious. We'll talk about it after.
Yeah,
I get a few computers. We might be able to work something out.